Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Philippians chapter 2.
Not me, not you, not I. Not like Lucifer says that he wants to be like the Most High. I will be like the Most High. The thought here is others. And that's not easy, brothers and sisters. And notice, then it says to us again in verse 7, but he was made in the likeness of men. What we learn from this point here, made in the likeness of men, he was born into this world just like you and I, sin apart. He was made just like you and I, was born through the Virgin Miriam, the Hebrew Virgin Miriam, in the city of Bethlehem. He became a man just like everyone else, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If we would have been in Israel some 2,000 years ago, in Galil or in Yerushalayim, we would see him walking with everybody just like everybody else. He looked like everybody else. He walked among his own people, Israel. He took upon himself the seed of Abraham. So he became a man. Now imagine, what does that mean? I know you and I don't think about it, but imagine, he will never stop to be a man. Throughout eternity. He took union, humanity with divine nature. In other words, here we have God and man in one. Not half God and half man, but completely divine God and completely a man, spirit, soul, and body. Yet, sin apart. He became a man like you and I. He knows your feeling. He knows my feeling. He knows your trials. He knows my trials. When we weep, he weep. When we rejoice, he rejoice. He knows everything that you and I, he experienced this here in his life. Now you and I might wonder, why would God want to bother himself with that? This is a dilemma. Why would a living God want to enter humanity and be like us? He became like a person like you and I, but of course we have always to emphasize there was no sin whatsoever in our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. He is that Holy One, undefiled, separate from sinners, and yet a perfect man, human being. It's amazing. Paul says when he wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is a mystery that God entered humanity. He became a man like you and I. This is the third step downward. Notice now the verse 8. Now, not only that he entered humanity and he became a human being through Miriam, the virgin from Israel, then he says here in the next verse, verse 8, but he being found in a fashion as a man. Here he takes us further and he says, look, he conducted himself here in this world. He appeared and lived like any other man here in this world. You know, in the Bible we read John 11, Yeshua wept. He wept like you and I. Do you have some trials in your life and sometimes you and I need to weep? He wept like you. He wept like me. He knows what we experience in our life. And then when we have persecution and tribulation in our life, there is no one that ever lived like the Lord Yeshua the Messiah who understands all the trials and experiences that you and I live here in this world and experience. He is called in Isaiah chapter 53, a man of sorrows. that have been acquainted with grief. Do you have grief in your life today, brothers and sisters? Do I have grief and challenges in my life? There is none that can understand you, can sympathize with you and I, as our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. When he was tired, he leaned on Jacob's well. When he was thirsty, he asked the Samaritan woman, "Give me to drink." When he was tired, he slept in the boat. We read in Matthew chapter 8, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the earth have nests, but the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head." That's the man, Yeshua, that we have fallen in love with. The one that Paul presenting before us. If we are going to have harmony among the people of God, we got to learn from him. We got to be occupied with him. Now notice he continue in verse 8, and this is step number 5 now. Then it says here, now he humbled himself. Notice that. In verse 8, being found in the fashion of the man, he humbled himself. You know, it is amazing. He exactly was the opposite of the human race. The human race exalted himself. He humbled himself. The human race wanted more for himself. God the Son, in the person of Yeshua HaMashiach, he humbled himself. He emptied himself. You know, when you look at the life of the Lord and you read how he humbled himself, you remember what Isaiah wrote prophetically about Yeshua the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 50? Morning by morning, verse 4, he wakeneth mine ear to hear us alone. The Lord God opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious. Neither turn away back. He said, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that pluck off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and from spitting. Now imagine what kind of a life the Lord had when he humbled himself, when he was among men here in this world, how they mocked him and they caused him all kind of grief in his life. Shame and spitting and rejection. Throughout the history of Yeshua the Messiah, he had experienced misunderstanding and rejected. In fact, he said in a psalm, he said, my own familiar friend with whom I walk into the house of the Lord has set himself against me. Even the best friend, Judas Iscariot, who have sold him for 30 pieces of silver. And he gave him a kiss to identify him as the Messiah, so the leaders will come and will take him. I mean, it is amazing to think of the life of Yeshua, the Messiah, that he humbled himself. And we can see it again and again of how he have done it. Notice, this is, by the way, the second time that we find this expression, himself. In verse 7, he made himself. In verse 8, he humbled himself. Nobody had to force him to do it. He had decided to do that on his own. And then as we are getting towards the end, notice number 6 and number 7 of the 7 fold steps downward of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, it was that he was obedient. Notice verse 8c, he became obedient unto death. You know, brothers and sisters, obedience is one of our biggest problems. You know how sin came to this world? By disobedience. God said to Adam, Adam, here is all the garden is yours. Here are those two trees, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam, I don't want you to eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you can eat from everything else. Just one command, you might say. But Adam made a decision. He says, listen, I'm not satisfied. You gave me everything to the north and the south, the east and the west, but I want this tree and I'm going to eat it anyways. And he did so. And you and I, if we were there, would have done the same thing. And we here plunge the whole human race into sin. And that's why we have all the friction and all the fighting and all the anger and all the things that we are doing all our life and others in this world. It all came from this sin nature that brought about because of disobedience. But here's a man that was obedient. It says here in verse 8, he became obedient, not only obedient, but obedient even unto death. Now, can you imagine when God looked from heaven and he looked at the whole human race? All have gone astray. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But there was one man that gave him pleasure. And that's the man Yeshua, the Messiah, from the city of Nazareth, who was born to Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. He was obedient. What a joy it gave the heart of the Father. What a joy to the Apostle Paul should the brothers and sisters in the local assembly at Philippi will just listen to his counsel. Fulfill my joy, he said, that you will be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and having the same mind. Give me this joy that I would love to have while I'm in prison, he said. Just have one mind. Learn from Yeshua the Messiah. Be in some small way. You know, the word Christian or Meshichim come from the word little Christs, little Meshichim, little Messiah, little anointed ones. We like the title, but we don't like to practice this. No wonder sometimes people say to us, and you call yourself a Meshichi, a Messiah follower? Look at the way you behave. And sometimes we like to have our own rights. Do you want your own rights before God? Do I want to get what I deserve from the Lord? Do you and I want God to challenge us on everything that we have done every time? And he will have to condemn us again and again and again. We know that. We know our own hearts. And that's why Paul is presenting before them the person of the Lord. And I want you just notice the seventh step. It says here in verse 8, it says, even the death of the cross. Now, why does he emphasize the death of the cross? Because it was a shameful death. Not only to die, but to die shamefully, lifted up between heaven and earth. Lifted up between two thieves, nailed to the tree with his hands and his feet, and then his side with a spear pierced through. Can you imagine hanging there? Only his bottom part was covered somewhat, blood running all over his body, the crown of thorns upon his head to mock him, a Roman crucifixion. Sometimes we sing a song in the songbook, a shameful death he died, uplifted on that cross, there for everyone to view, this death of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And yet, you know, he said in the Gospel of John, and I want to read this verse, Yeshua said in John chapter 10 and verse 17 and verse 18, he says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. Verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And look at the last part, in obedience, it says, this commandment have I received of my Father. The Father sent him to this world, and he sent him with a mission to provide redemption for mankind. And Yeshua the Messiah, in obedience to God, went all the way to the cross, to the tree, even as it says here, the death of the cross. And you know, brothers and sisters, you and I sometimes suffer because of our own faults. We are sometimes suffer because someone else imposes upon us some things. We are suffering sometimes because Satan attacks the people of God. But here we see a man that laid down himself. He voluntarily came down from heaven. Voluntarily took those sevenfold steps downward and brought upon himself this judgment that you and I deserve. He was judged on the cross in order to accomplish redemption and salvation. I'm sure that Apostle Paul was thinking about Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid upon him the iniquities of us all. He must have thinking about this whole chapter, or Psalm 22, or Psalm 69, all these Hebrew biblical accounting that was given to our forefathers some many, many years ago, and he was thinking about them as he was writing to the brothers and sisters in the local assembly at Philippi. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask you, like Paul, do we want to give joy to the Lord? Do we want to learn from Yeshua the Messiah, or do we only want a ticket to go to heaven? So we don't need to come to meetings. We don't need to read our Bibles if we only want a ticket to go to heaven. We don't need to pray because we are saved. I got my salvation. I believe in Jesus. But the rest of the time, I don't need to learn from him. I only needed the fact that he can forgive my sins, and the rest I can do as I please. Apostle Paul says, no, that's not the way. He says, fulfill my joy that you will have the mind of Yeshua the Messiah. Let this mind be in you, which was also in the Messiah Yeshua. He became a padre. And we need the Lord to help us to learn from him every day of our lives. And when we fail, we need to confess it to the Lord and say, Lord, I have failed you. I have sinned. I shouldn't have behaved the way I behave. I confess it before you. And the Lord can restore us and bless us and use us because we are all in the same situation. Now let me move to the second half of this, and only three verses here, about the exaltation of the Messiah. Not only that he humbled himself and he came down to this world, but there is a consequence to his humility. There is a result from his work for us when he died for us on the cross. It says in verse 9, 10, and 11, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and giving him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua every knee should bow of things in heaven and of things on earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, let me just make a few remarks about those verses. Now, you notice that there is not only sevenfold steps downward, but there is also sevenfold steps upward. You see, the number seven, of course, speaks of completion, of a complete number. In other words, he completely humbled himself when he came down to this world, and God completely exalted him and extolled him and have given him a place that is right above everyone. And notice how the sevenfold, let me just highlight them. First of all, in verse 9, wherefore God, notice it's not he himself, but now God exalted him. It says here, have highly exalted Yeshua in verse 9. Psalm 110 verse 1, sit down on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. When God have highly exalted him, that means that after he was on the cross, he died this shameful death and he was buried and he rose again on the third day, God have taken him out from this world and have placed him at his right hand and said, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. We read in Mark chapter 16 and verse 19 that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven. And he sat at the right hand of God. God have taken him. And as the disciples are looking up and they see him going up and up and up and up. And he was received into the presence of the Lord. And he's seated now at the right hand of God. He exalted him. Whosoever will exalt himself, God will humble. And whosoever will humble, God will exalt him and place him in a position and will give him a place of honor. Notice at the same verse 9, he had also given him a name, which is above every name. Now that expression, name here, should be, he had given him a title. He had given him a rank. He had given him a position. He had given him a reputation. That's the thought that we have. He already have the name Yeshua when he was born. But now we can see in verse 9, God highly exalted him and gave him a reputation, a name, a title, a rank, a position. And you notice the third point, so upward exaltation, it says, God now ordained that at the name of Yeshua the Messiah, every knee will bow. And so we read in verse 10, and that at the name of Jesus, at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow. You see, you have elevated him and placed him at his right hand, saying to him, sit down on my right hand until all your enemies are going to be made your footstool. But you see what he's also saying to him here in verse 10, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee should bow. Now, I know today people look at him and they say, who is Jesus? Who is Yeshua? And why would I submit to him? Why would I accept him? What do I need him for? And the Bible teaches us that God placed him in a place, in a pinnacle of the universe, that at the name of Yeshua, the very same name that was despised and rejected, is the very same name and the very same person that everyone will have to bow their knees to him. And again, I would like to emphasize the name Yeshua comes from two Hebrew words, Yehovah HaMoshiach, Jehovah the Savior. And in this name, everyone will bow. You shall call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the Yeshua that God have lifted up and raised and placed him. And now in the steps forth, here we find out that who is going to bow their knees. Notice that we have three groups mentioned here in verse 10. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Now the things that are under the earth, you might say, are those who rejected him and will end up to be eternally lost, but even from the lake of fire, they will still have to bow their knees to him. You might say the things in heaven, all the heavenly company, you might say. On earth, when the nation of Israel will be restored, the nation of Israel will be also bowing their knees to Yeshua the Messiah. The church, the ecclesia in glory, and all the redeemed in every generation will end up to bow their knees to the Lord Yeshua. And I would like to say this today, that if you are here without the Lord Jesus the Messiah, you and I have a choice to bow our knees to him today. Because if we left this world without accepting him, we will end up to bow our knees before him, but it will be too late, away from him as lost. And so finally, beloved brothers and sisters, verse 11, it says, and that every tongue should confess that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the seventh step upward when God said, as Romans 14 says, every tongue will confess. Those that reject him today, those that despise him, they will end up to confess. With their mouth, with their tongue, every tongue will confess that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, is Lord. Notice the word Lord, the Hebrew word for Lord is Adon, Master, Lord. The one that is a master, the man that who is that Lord of all. to the glory of God the Father. Now let me conclude with one verse in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 23. God long time had said, before the incarnation of the Messiah, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. This is in the Godhead. Long before the Messiah Yeshua came to this world, we have this declaration by the triune God that every tongue will confess, every knee shall bow to the Lord Himself. And in this case, as we have it in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11, to the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Now let me sum it up. If we are going to learn any lesson from this passage, we have to ask ourselves, just the same like the Philippian, am I learning from Yeshua the Messiah? Am I conducting myself among the brothers and sisters in a small measure like Yeshua the Messiah? The moment we are not, we are really not pleasing the Lord. We are not helping our brothers and our sisters. And that only going to bring about for divisions and separation among the people of God. And I can assure you, we will never have joy in our hearts at all. We cannot have the joy of the Lord and behave on an ongoing basis in a way that is not pleasing to Him. If we want to have joy and blessing and harmony among the people of God, we need to have this mind as it was in the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. May He help us to do so, brothers and sisters.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.